Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're going to talk about the rights of women tonight. The rights of women. In the world today, in America, women want all the rights that men have, to go to war and fight. And this has caused a lot of problem in the world because most of our wars and the last 20 or more years has been with Islam. When women go back behind Islamic lines, they're treated as property and slaves. If a woman is captured, a woman soldier is captured, they can kill her, rape her, molest her in any way, because that's the way they do women in those countries. In the Islamic culture, women are property and slaves. When Islam comes to any other nation, they want not to be under the constitution of that nation, but under Sharia law. They want to be able to beat their wives. They want to be able to divorce their wives, saying, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you," three times. That's Sharia law. That the woman absolutely has no rights at all to children, period. And really, not much rights with her husband. Of course, Islam is the only religion in the world that has a tremendous public relations propaganda machine that tells you they don't practice what they practice and they don't believe what they believe. An Islamic man may have four legal, free Islamic wives, but they may have all of the concubines that they can afford. America had a war in 1860 to 1865 over slavery, so-called. But we still have slavery in this country today because Islam is here. And Islam does not want to go by the laws and the Constitution of the United States by Sharia law, but by Sharia law. Women in history have had very few rights. America is one of the only places that women have rights equal to a man, and sometimes even above a man in the divorce courts and laws, especially with children, right or wrong, whether they're right or wrong. In Islam, a woman has no rights to her children at all. Very few rights at all. Now, January the 11th, 2015, was the last message I preached from the book of Exodus. We're going to be in the book of We'elei Shemot, or Exodus now. We're going to read it from Hebrew. But our message is on women's rights. Women's rights. Now, in the Old Testament times, women had few rights. We know that from basically many different cultural examples. But in Genesis, the second chapter, God said, "I want to make a woman, a partner, a companion suitable and corresponding to man." And he created woman, and he took woman out of man from the sides of man, his bones, his flesh, and his blood. He made woman. Now, woman is the secondary creation of God. Man is the primary. He created him from the same elements that he created the dust of the ground, clay. I know in so many ways you see God making a mud ball, a little mud doll, and breathing life into it. Man was not made from dirt, but he was made to become dirt when he died, prophetically, and he was from the same elements as clay or dirt. The same elements in a man and the human race is there is in the ground that you see out there. In the book of Exodus, the 21st chapter, the 21st chapter in verse 8, it says, Im ra'ah b'nei Adonika asher lo yi'ada v'hef da li'am nakare lo yimshal lem kera b'vido ba. Now, a man here, let's go to the Amplified Bible and get you to find what's going on. We're talking about women's rights here. That a woman doesn't have much rights, but she's got some. And this, from the Old Testament, tells us the rights of a woman from verse number 8 through verse number 11. And it says here, 21, 8 through 11, if a man sells his daughter as a slave, she shall not be freed at the end of 6 years as the man that the men are. Women do not have the rights that a man has, and this is the Old Testament. But women had some rights. Now, Islam today practices pretty much what this says here. Except women have less rights than what God gave them in the book of Exodus. If she does not please the man who bought her, then he shall let her be bought back again, but he has no power to sell her to foreigners, since he has wronged her by no longer wanting her after he married her. Marriage is when a man and a woman have sex together. They cohabit. Hagar. Now, this book was written by Moses. And you go back to the period of time that I'm going to talk about right here. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he went out of the Ur of the Chaldees and went into the land of Canaan, or Canaan. That means possession. God promised to give that land to him and to his descendants. Abraham got a little bit afraid there. He went down into Egypt and he deceived Pharaoh, telling her that Sarah was his sister and not his wife. Pharaoh had given him as a political marriage Hagar, his daughter, by a concubine. You can find this historical account of this in the book of Jasher. He took her and gave her to his wife as a slave, or a handmaiden. Later on, Sarah talked him into having sex with her, and she didn't think that Abraham was capable of doing this. And anyway, Hagar got pregnant, and she got mad. Sarah, by the way, means contentious, and she was contentious. Sarah became very angry and began to abuse Hagar. And God protected the underdog, Hagar. He told her, go back and just be submissive. You're going to have a child, and I'm going to name it. He's going to be Ishmael, God hears. And he shall be a prince. 12 princes shall come out of him. He'll be a wild man. And his descendants will be wild people living in the wilds and contentious as wild donkeys. But he shall be blessed because of Abraham. Abraham just sent her away. With no rights. But God watched over her. Now, let's look here. If she, this woman slave that this man has bought, if she displeases him, if he looks upon her in an evil way, like Sarah looked upon Hagar, wickedly, jealously. Now, if this man looks at her with an evil eye, the master of her, Adonijah, this is Adonai, comes from this word here, Adonijah, the master belonging to her and her belonging to him, which not to himself that he wants to keep her with him. He doesn't want her appointed with him. He doesn't want her to be his wife any longer. He shall allow her to be ransomed and redeemed by her family. He will have no more power over her. And then he shall not sell her to a foreigner, a strange people. And not shall he keep on ruling over her to sell her, to act falsely to her. Evidently, this man looked at her, looked upon her, and lusted after her, and decided to make her his wife, to sexually unite himself to her. And then, for some reason, she doesn't please him. There are certain rights that she has. 21 and verse number 9 now. Viem levino yadina ki mishpat ha banoth yaaseh lach. And if, for his son, he kept on choosing or appointing her, just as a judgment or a custom is, as one of his daughters, she shall keep on being or doing, he shall keep on treating her just like one of his daughters. Let's read that. I'm reading from the Living Bible here on this. My Amplified is in Nevada. And if he arranges an engagement between the Hebrew slave girl and his son, then he may long longer treat her as a slave girl. But he must. It is bindingly necessary for him to keep on treating her as a daughter, as one of his own daughters, Ikra. If at the end or at the last he keeps on keeping her for himself, her flesh and her wrapper she has sexual rights, is what it says. Not he shall keep on diminishing those rights. She has a right to procreate. She has a right, a slave girl has married his daughter, and that the man does not want to unite his soul with her any longer, and doesn't want to sleep with her, she has sexual rights to procreate. Even the American Negro slaves in the South had a right to procreate. Now, many times in early America, let's go back to Thomas Jefferson, our former president and the man that wrote preamble to the Constitution. He had quite a few slaves. He inherited slaves from his wife's father. Now, many times, these white slave owners would cohabit with these slave women. If they had one that they liked, they had children by her. They wouldn't let anybody else have children by her, that she would be his concubine. They had concubines. Now, when Thomas Jefferson inherited James and Sally Hemings, they were actually his wife's half-brothers and sisters. After his wife died, this slave girl, which was probably only half, maybe even quarter Negro, and according to history, she was very pretty. And Thomas Jefferson, after his wife died, took her as a concubine and had, I think, 6 children by her. When they were in France, when he was the representative of America to France, France did not recognize slavery. Sally and James were free. They never had to go back to America. They could have been free and not have to come back here as slaves. Sally Hemings became pregnant with Thomas Jefferson, the father. And she had the power over him because of his attraction to her. She looked like his wife. And she was his wife in all reality, but she didn't have the rights. But Sally wanted rights. She would be free when he died, and her children would be freed. All of her children would be freed, and her brother would be freed. And Thomas Jefferson agreed to that. Now, he's married to his sister-in-law. I mean, he's married to his wife, and then he basically is married to his sister-in-law. She's a half-sister to his wife. James, while they were over in Europe, learned to be a pastry cook, a very good pastry cook. And Thomas Jefferson said if he'd come back and work with him a certain period of time, if he would train other slaves to do what he could do, that he would set him free. James drank himself to death with alcoholism when he was freed. Thomas Jefferson had a lot of slaves. Sally Hemings' children were freed. Thomas Jefferson, when he was president of the United States, his enemies would say that he was cohabiting with a Negro slave, a concubine. Well, he was, but he denied it, but he had all these children. Now, it's an absolute fact today that these children genetically can trace them, their DNA right straight back to Thomas Jefferson. This was not hearsay, it was truth. A lot of things happen, and even in our nation, that at many times are incorrigible, what our nation has done and what our leaders have done. But the Bible gives women rights that they don't have anyplace else in the world, here in America. 21 verse 11, Viem shilash ele lo yaase la vayatsia him hin nam in. And if 3 these not he keeps on doing to her, she shall have gone out for a favor, and not with kasef, silver. If he doesn't keep on doing the laws that God has given for him to do with her, that's the word yaaseh there, third person masculine singular, kal imperfect. He has to do this. He has to give her wifely rights. A woman has a right to sleep with her husband. And a woman has a right to have children. Even the slave women in Jewish culture had rights. Now Eve, through Eve, there would be the promise of the Messiah, not through Adam. One of Adam's descendants, through Eve, one girl, will have the Messiah, King of Israel, one day. And that's Luke, the third chapter, and Matthew, the first chapter, and Genesis 3:15 is a promise in the Old Testament. The Bible slowly gives women more rights than the rest of the culture, existing, coexisting. In the New Testament with Jesus, Jesus radically changes how the Jewish people were to look upon women. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was a courtesan. I know some people would disagree with that, but she was. A courtesan is a high-class prostitute. Well-trained and become very rich. In Europe, many Jewish women, mothers, would train their daughters to be prostitutes. To play, to sing, to act, and to get involved with princes. And we see this, one of the most famous American actresses was one of these in the early days. Her mother had trained her and her sisters to be prostitutes. And the prostitutes, she went and married a Bohemian prince, I think it was, and had a child by him. And this woman, that's the only child she had, but she became American actress and traveled all over. They had certain privileges in these countries where they would attach themselves to princes. Mary Magdalene was one of that kind. She's a very powerful woman today and very rich and attracted many men, many powerful, rich men. The Bible says that God would create a woman out of man, and she was taken out of man when he was sinless, and that through the woman there would be the Messiah child. Now, the Catholic Church has raised Mary, the mother of Jesus, unto godhood. Mary, the mother of God. Now, you don't pray to the Father through Jesus in Catholicism, you pray to Mary. That's idolatry, people. They lifted her up to far beyond what she was. She was the promised seed of the woman that would bring forth the Messiah child. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, it says, honor your father and your mother. Jesus in the New Testament looked at that rich, that wretched, poor widow that threw in two of the smallest denominations of coins into the treasury and said that she'd given more than all the rest. He rescued Mary Magdalene from herself and from the notoriety that she had clothed herself with, and made a servant of God out of her. Men were her servants before. Now she is a servant to the Son of God. and to God's people from there on. In the Old Testament, we do see women that stand out when men wouldn't do it. Look, for instance, Isaac's wife. Look at her, Rebecca. Rebecca stood in the gap when Isaac wanted to bless the wrong son. And she told Jacob, go get a goat. Bring a young goat. Then I want you to act and smell like your brother, so your father won't bless the wrong son. That happened. That woman stood in the gap. In the New Testament, we have Mary Magdalene. We have Martha and another Mary. These people traveled with Jesus many times. They traveled with him. The Jews would not even speak to their wives in public. They said it was indecent to speak to your wife in public. A wife could not go shopping with her husband and have any conversation with him that was promiscuous. Jesus treated women as equals. How about the woman at the well in John the 4th chapter? The woman was a Samaritan. The Jews looked down her long noses upon those Samaritans and held themselves aloof from them, but Jesus talked to a woman, a female Samaritan. And she went out and rescued her whole village and brought them out and said, come and see a man that told me everything that I ever did. Yes. A man that told her everything that she ever did. Dorcas in the New Testament. Julia. Lydia. Persis. Priscilla. Phoebe. Tryphena. Tryphosa. These are all women in the Bible. Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla started and built up the first churches in England, Wales, basically. In the New Testament, it tells women how to behave themselves in the house of God. Yes, women aren't supposed to be preachers. God forbids that. And Paul uses the example that Eve was deceived. Maybe women are more easily deceived than men are. They got captured by some man. Peter talks about women adorning themselves with the attributes of grace. The Old Testament talks about women adorning themselves with the attributes of grace and not with the fine jewels and fancy hairdos and fixing their nails, so to speak, as today. The women traveled with Jesus. The women served Jesus. Women were lifted up far beyond how they ever had been treated ever before in the history of humankind. Women, if you live in America, you're lucky if you're not Islamic. That's all I got to say. Now, I know that there are men that mistreat women still today. They beat women, and women beat men. Men abuse women, but more likely than not, women abuse men. I know one specific woman that this is a real historical thing, that she was much younger than her husband, but she treated him horribly. She had an affair with a lower type person than her husband. And then she had the child and made her husband like it. And that little episode there destroyed that family for 100 years. It cursed the family. The family was cursed. Yes, the man should have done something about it. He should not have allowed his wife to do what she did. A man is the head of the home, remember? It's his job to honor, make his home honorable. A woman, if in America now, a woman didn't have much property rights at all until nearly 2000, the year 2000. The woman didn't have any credit. And a man could leave his money to his children instead of his wife. And a woman couldn't do anything about it. Today, women basically can have credit. They can do things. They can have loans. They can own property, even when married to their husbands. That's new. And I think that's important. But when women go the wrong way, like that family, they curse all of their children. It seems like for generations. Because the Bible does say that. By our actions, sometimes we curse our children for generations. It's a very sad thing to see a woman or a man go wrong and go the wrong way. Because it affects their children forever. Forever. The next generation. A woman may despise her mother, but so many times she will act like her. A man may despise his father and the way his father treated him or beat him. And yet, many times he will repeat those actions. The sins of the fathers and sins of the mothers will be upon the heads of the children. Now, you can break the mold, people. You can break the mold. You don't have to be in that. One of my close friends, his father hated him. Every day when he got home from school, he would go home and he would eat, do whatever he could. Because when his father came home, he would take a piece of hose and beat him with it and start cussing him and calling him horrible names. The boy ran away from home when he was 12 years old. That boy does not treat his wife like that or his children. But so many times that happens. Women's rights. Yes, the Bible gives women rights. Women should be the mother of the home. They should teach the children how to honor their father. They should teach their children habits, good habits, not bad habits. In this home that I talked about a while ago, the illegitimate daughter was taught all the bad habits and taught that she was superior than more than everybody in the home. And she went out and had children and they wreaked havoc on society. Prostitutes, bank robbers, burglars, thieves, drug addicts for 100 years. Long, long time. Long, long time. Teddy Roosevelt's mother taught him that he could be anything that he wanted to be. And she taught him to be the best at whatever he did, and he was. They expected him to die because he was so sickly when he was young. And then Franklin Roosevelt, his mother, he was an only child and the cousin of Teddy Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt. His mother taught him that he was something special, that he could attain anything that he wanted to attain. And he did. He built America as we knew it 50 years ago. He built the American dream. All the roads and highways that you drive your cars on basically was because of that man. But that man did exactly and put in motion what his cousin had started. We had labor rights and women's rights. They had children's rights. They stood up for all of this. You have to realize before that period of time, children were going to work when they were 5 years old in slave factories. Slavery didn't end with the Civil War, people. It still went on in America. Baptists built Sunday schools so that children, this is a fact, Baptists built Sunday schools so that children could be educated how to read and write so they could get out of the factories and get a better job. John B. Stetson was one of the greatest men in American history. John B. Stetson. Now, you have to remember that I'm poisoned with mercury pretty bad. It was intentional to kill me. And it didn't, but I'm dying with it. But one of the things that mercury poisoning will do is you shake all over. The slaves down in South America under the Catholic Church in Spain were caused to go into the cinnabar or the mercury mines and bring that stuff out, and they breathed the retorting of that, and they shook for the rest of their lives. They said when they died, the mercury would run out of their bodies as they disintegrated in the graves. They didn't live very long. They didn't live very long. Back to John B. Stetson. I only buy Stetson hats, by the way. First of all, my head is so little. My head is only 6 1/2. That's only Einstein had a head that little. The largest head was that of an idiot, they say. And the smallest head was Einstein and me. But a hatter, we talked about the Mad Hatter in that great movie with Julie Garland. The Mad Hatter, they called hatters mad because mercury would drive you mentally unstable. John B. Stetson knew that, and he built clinics and hospitals for his workers. He produced thousands of hats every day, and he had to have a good workforce to do that. He was making lots of money. He went out to Colorado to die with tuberculosis. Instead, he learned that he could make hats and sell them. If you see me, you'll see me with a Stetson hat on almost all the time. Sometimes even when I'm preaching, Marilyn makes me wear a hat. He went back, he built hospitals, he built schools for the children. They had profit sharing. They had pensions. They had homes. If you went to work in some coal mine someplace and you went to a company store, you might get paid your wages, but they took out 70% of your wages for your food and clothing and housing. And therefore, you couldn't get away. Tennessee Ernie Ford sang a song, One More Day Deeper in Debt.
Company store.
What?
The company store.
My soul sold to the company store. That's true, people. That was true. John B. Stetson let us know what could happen. Henry Ford started out that way too and then turned on his people. He had a stroke and changed him. He started out not wanting unions, but they didn't have to have one. He gave his people hospitals and good wages, paying really good wages, more than anybody else. He brought the standard of industry up, the wages. The evolution of society. The evolution of the rights of women. We see all of this in the Bible. Women, you have rights if you are not Islamic. You have rights that God gave you. God-given rights. Women, because of Christian culture, you have rights. in America. You'll have rights. If you're out there and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you owe Him a lot. And that's something else He gave to you. That's His life. That He died for your sins, that you might be born again and be an equal heir with your husbands or any other man. A woman can be in the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is the wife of Jesus. And she shall rule and reign with Him forever and ever and ever. The rights of women, women's rights in the Bible. Our Father, we commend this message to You. Father, please use it. Please make women feel better because what You've done for them and what Your Son did and how He raised Your low estates of these women to a much higher calling. Father, please forgive me where I failed You and use this message for years to come.